Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church on this cold January morning, but it is refreshing.
Yeah.
Okay, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And this is, believers are salt and light. This is Jesus speaking to us. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus is saying here that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Being salt and light is not optional. Jesus did not say you can be or you have the potential to be. He said you are. Everyone who has trusted Christ for salvation is born again, is the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So Jesus' command here is very important on how we're going to use these characteristics properly. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses the illustrations of salt and light in these verses. Both salt and light have properties which affect things around them. Salt, a simple but very important mineral, was used to preserve food and to flavor food. But let's look at the value of salt. The value of salt, especially in the ancient world, cannot be underestimated. It was very, very important. So after today, you're probably going to look at your table salt. I hope you look at it a different way. And not just, I need extra salt on my French fries. Salt is very important. The Roman soldiers received their wages in salt. The Greeks considered salt to be divine. The Mosaic law required that all offerings presented by the Israelites contain salt. In Leviticus 2:13, it states, "And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt." So salt was huge. It was a big commodity. I mean, it was so important in that ancient society. Huge. But while the universal importance of salt is not as readily apparent in our modern world today, the mandate that Jesus gives here to his first disciples is still relevant and applicable to his followers today. So to be salt means to deliberately seek to influence the people in one's life by showing them the unconditional love of Christ through good deeds. Light is a symbol used to mean awareness. You know, I love our church bulletins. You know, some, I don't know who our photographers, I think it's tiny, but I mean, pictures of lighthouses. When you think about a lighthouse and how it shines the light out into the shipping lanes for the mariners for safe passage, but it's an awareness to them, to make them aware of the danger of the rocky coastline, to stay away. So light, again, is a symbol used to mean awareness, knowledge, and understanding. To be light means to be a witness to others concerning the truth of God's word, especially about who Jesus Christ is and how he died and rose again for our salvation. Amen. So let us ask ourselves, what does it mean that believers are to be salt and light? What does it mean? Jesus used the concepts of salt and light a number of different times to refer to the role of his followers in the world. Believers in Christ are preservatives. You are. You're a preservative. To the world and to the community and to all people around you that you come in contact with. Preserving it from the evil inherent in the society of ungodly men whose unredeemed natures are corrupted by sin. Psalm 14:3. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. In Romans 8:8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Second, salt was used then as now, as a flavor enhancer. But in the same way, that salt enhances the flavor of the food it seasons. The followers of Christ stand out as those who enhance the flavor of life in this world. You do play a big part in this. You do, being salt and light. Brothers and sisters, living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and in obedience to Christ will inevitably influence the world for good. As salt has a positive influence on the flavor of the food it seasons. You know, you say to yourself, how can I influence the world? How can I influence the surroundings around me? What can I do? I'm sure people ask that. We all ask that, most ask it at times. But this is where it begins. You know, where there is strife, we are to be peacemakers. And you're backed up by what? The Word of God. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. In these situations, where will you go? You will need to go to the Word. God will give it to you. He will give you what you need. Where there is sorrow, we are to be the ministers of Christ, binding up wounds. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And where there is hatred, we are to exemplify the love of God in Christ, returning good for evil. Is it hard? It is. You're going to be confronted in these areas, and you need to go to the Word. You need to pray. You are the salt and light. Do it. Luke 6:35, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Again, it's not easy, but it's a command of God, and God will be with you. In the analogy of light of the world, the good works of Christ's followers are to shine for all to see. Again, light is a symbol used to mean awareness. It means to be a witness. You're going to be sharing your testimony. You're going to have those opportunities, and you need to take advantage of them. To share with people the truth of God's Word. And again, especially about Jesus Christ. And how He died and rose again for you. And to bring that salvation, eternal life. You are the light here. You are to bring people to that awareness of where they are in their life. Where you get those opportunities. The following verses in Matthew 5 highlight this truth. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The idea here is similar. The presence of light in the darkness is something that is, it's unmistakable. The presence of Christians in the world must be like a light in the darkness, not only in the sense that the truth of God's Word brings light to the darkened
hearts of sinful man, but also in the sense that our good deeds must be evident for all to see. And indeed, our deeds will be evident if they are performed in accordance with other principles that Jesus mentions in this passage, such as the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 3 through 11. I'd like to read those. You can turn there if you'd like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Notice especially that the concern is not that Christians would stand out for their own sake, but that those who looked on would glorify your Father who is in heaven. In view of these verses, what sort of things can hinder or prevent the Christian from fulfilling his or her role as salt and light in the world? This passage clearly states that the difference between the Christian and the world must be preserved. Therefore, any choice on our part that blurs the distinction between us and the rest of the world is a step in the wrong direction. This can happen either through a choice to accept the ways of the world or the sake of comfort and convenience, or to contravene the law of obedience to Jesus Christ. And that's where we're to be, obeying Christ. Now let's look at Mark 9:50, and it talks here about tasteless salt is worthless. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. So here in Mark 9:50, it suggests that saltiness can be lost specifically through a lack of peace with one another. This follows from the command to have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We find a reference to the metaphor of salt once again, this time in the context of obedient discipleship to Jesus Christ. The loss of saltiness, brothers and sisters, occurs in the failure of the Christian to daily take up his cross and follow Christ wholeheartedly. Now it seems then that the role of the Christian as salt and light in the world may be hindered or prevented through any choice to compromise or settle for that which is more convenient or comfortable rather than that which is truly best and pleasing to the Lord. Moreover, the status of salt and light is something that follows naturally from the Christian's humble obedience to the commandments of Jesus Christ. It is when we depart from the Spirit-led lifestyle of genuine discipleship that the distinctions between ourselves and the rest of the world become blurred and our testimony is hindered. We cannot let the world creep in. You can't. You have to stay on the straight and narrow path. Only by remaining focused on Christ and being obedient to Him can we expect to remain salt and light in the world. Brothers and sisters, by the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, Christ had made it clear that the gospel was to have an all-out effect on all the world, all the nations. So let us read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is the commission, the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus commanded his followers to go and teach all nations, to baptize them and teach them everything he had taught. So, brothers and sisters, are you going to be a positive effect or a negative effect? Ask yourself that. Do you want to be a positive effect or a negative effect? This command has been properly taken as a mandate for all Christians to spread the gospel of Christ to everyone. Everyone. This includes both concepts of salt and light. You are the salt and light. We are to do as much good in the name of Christ as we can. I heard a saying the other day that was really powerful, and it was, "The violence of the few is not the problem. It's the absence of the many that have that will speak the word of God to be that light, to be that salt and light. It's the absence of us. We need to be present there. Wherever God opens those opportunities, we need to take advantage of that. This is a command, the Great Commission. It is also a privilege and an honor to be able to share your testimony with someone. Christ offers eternal life as an incomparable gift. Sharing the good news of that gift with others is one of the greatest joys of the Christian life. Let us pray. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would show us if there are areas of our lives that have become contaminated, causing us to lose our saltiness and our light. I ask now, Lord, that you'd purify us so that we can be salt and light of the earth. May we confess today any sin that is in us that we can't hide it. You see right through us. Can stunt our growth. And your word says, "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." May we confess our sin to you, Lord, who is faithful to purify us. And Lord, create opportunities for us to proclaim the gospel to a lost world. And may it be received, Lord, by your hand to illuminate those hearts, Lord. We pray this now in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now we would show each other the sign of peace, followed by the communion devotional given to us by our beloved deacon, Scott.